Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. It is Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. here on the East Coast in New York, and I hope everyone's having a good week so far. We're almost through the work week here, and I hope everyone's got some good plans going on for the weekend. Very excited to have on the show today Mr. Rudy DeReuter, of the CEO of CKV Bank. Rudy, welcome to the show.
Hello, good morning there. Here it's already in the afternoon, of course.
That's right. So I'm speaking with Rudy, and he's based out of Belgium, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, where in Belgium are you exactly?
We are near Waregem, and Waregem is the place where there's a very well-known cemetery, which was last year visited by Barack Obama.
Oh, wow, okay. Go ahead, Rudy.
It's about 2 kilometers from my head office.
Very nice, very nice. And are we speaking with you from your office today, or are you working from
a different location? No, I'm in the office now, so I'm looking out of the window, and I see the cemetery. I don't see Barack Obama anymore because he was here a year ago with helicopters and bodyguards.
Of course. So, Rudy, why don't you take us through a little bit of your background? Because, you know, obviously it sounds like you've succeeded a lot in your career. So tell us where you started, where you came from.
I'm born in Mol, and my father was a physician, so he was specialized in atomic energy. And I used to grow up in Belgium. We lived for 6 or 7 years in the United States, grace to my father, who was there working in San Francisco. Then we came back to Belgium, and I studied legal and economics at Ghent University.
Yes. Now, how did your experience here in America, being in San Francisco, how was that for you?
For me, it was extraordinary because I was still a young guy, and we saw differences between Belgium and the United States, because in the United States there is a lot, there is a big advantage on the Belgium side. If we see something in the United States, it takes, now it's faster, it takes about 1 year or 2 years later before we see it in Europe or in Belgium.
Right.
So you're always speeding up a bit before us, a bit, 12 months, something like that.
Right, sure. And you feel like that was an advantage, though, for you to be here and see that.
That was a big advantage. I had one disadvantage. That was that I didn't speak the language Dutch anymore very good. And when I was studying at Ghent University, we have English courses, but that is English from London. And I made a lot of mistakes, even unknown for me, that I was talking American English and I was not talking Oxford English like I was teaching at school. That was a disadvantage in this case.
I can see that being a problem, sure. So now you attended university over back in Europe, in Belgium, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I took 5 years to...
5 years, okay.
I took 5 years to study law, and then I studied 2 years economics. So I have a degree in law and a degree in economics. And then I studied in Bad Homburg, which is in Germany. I studied international banking law, which I also have a certificate of it. And I'm a professional negotiator. And I also tend to have a compliance certificate because I was, for 10 years, I was the compliance officer from ING Belgium, where I worked for about 28 years as management trainee up to a credit restructuring guy who was responsible as director for Europe into the ING group. Yeah. Before
now,
I came to CKV.
Now, I got to ask you, who or what was it that kind of influenced you to go to school for law in the initial phase? I mean, you know, what was it that kind of influenced your path? Because it sounds like you went to school, you got your Master of Law, and then you went into more of a financial background, right?
Exactly. The law was something that interested me because I was not already sure what I was going to do. And it was a bit against the will of my father, which was in that age of 17, 18 years, I was a bit contradictory. And my father, of course, wanted us to study physics or mathematics or engineer. And as revenge, I studied, of course, something totally different. And then law was something which was still acceptable. And then I went to the finance because I always was interested by finance because I did some jobs into my studies. So I saw the importance to have some money and to work with money. And the most important thing was my relationship with my banker in my home place, which with whom I had a very good contact, and he made me interested in shares in the financial world, and therefore I have applied for ING Group, also because there was a very interesting management trainee program for 24 months, and so I took the opportunity to get in the international management trainee program, and so I started my career at ING Group, yes. That's a bit how I came into finance, yes.
Absolutely. Now, I know you mentioned that you you worked while you were in your studies. So what type of places were you working at throughout that period when you were studying?
I worked in several places. I worked in McDonald's in the weekends, and I worked in my what we call in Belgium the student holidays. I worked in a bank, a small bank, where I was responsible for a paying instrument which doesn't exist anymore, but which is well known for everybody, I suppose, is the American Express checks.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was 2 times responsible in July for the tourists from the United States and from other countries coming into Belgium, and they needed to change their American Express checks, and then they came to that agency, which was located in Ghent City, and there I already had the first contact with finance, yes, in the front.
So that was a big step in your career, I think, right? I mean, once you felt that and you saw what you had to do.
Yeah.
And now you said that you worked for ING for 28 years, was it?
Exactly. So I started as management trainee. My first appointment was a commercial function. I was responsible for a small branch nearby Ghent, which I did for a year or two. And then I came in a management position where I was responsible for the credit decision work in the Flemish region. And then I went up to Brussels, which was then the case. For the Flemish region, we go to Brussels. And then from Brussels, you go to Amsterdam, where the headquarters of ING Group are placed. And then I started my career in the credit department, where I was junior, senior, partner, vice partner, and finally, because everybody before me went into pension, I became the head of the credit risk department for Europe for ING Group, which was very exciting because it was about 2 years before Lehman Brothers fell down, and I had the opportunity to be very active in the banking crisis all over Europe, if I could say. Yes.
Now, let me ask you this. I mean, because it sounds like obviously you've probably seen a lot of different financial cycles throughout the years, you know, in 30 plus years of experience. Now, was there anything more frightening than what was going on, you know, at that time that you had seen with the fall of a lot of banking systems?
No, that was the most astonishing period of my life. A lot of my team members came into burnout phase, and it was very, very, very tough because that was something we have never had before in our life, and the bank was really in a distressed position. which means we looked forward for 1 month if it was still possible to pay everybody and to keep the bank running for the next month, which is a very short time in period. And we were lucky that the Dutch government, in this case, took their responsibility to support the bank through these difficult years. And we paid, and ING paid back the last tranche of what they gained last year. So it took almost 7 years to recover from the dip we had in 2008. Yeah.
Wow. But now, with it being 2016, are we in a better place, globally?
Globally, for sure. In the United States, there has been a lot of done because your mentality is totally different from the European mentality. In that case, if you see something is going bad, you're cutting immediately. And that was a very wise decision from the United States banks. So the United States banks are in good shape. In Europe, we took more time because there are more social constraints to fire people. And right. Then we keep the people longer in place. And here it was more a playing field of regulations. So we had a lot of new regulations, which were very tough, are still very tough at the moment. And I think the regulation is much better than in 2008 and 2006. Although I see that some banks have difficulties to run their business model as usual because there are a lot of new players in the market. There are disruptive business models, and we need to reinvent the banking machine for the future, which is not so easy. And or what we call the NIM, which is the net interest margin, where the Belgian banks are living from. And it's easily put, you give money at me, I give you 0.50% of interest, and then I transform them into credits, and the NIM is the difference between what I pay you and what I gain from the credit side, minus the costs and the loss provisions. And the NIM is under pressure in the Benelux at the moment. Yeah.
So
the banks are suffering a bit, yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, that to me sounds the most intriguing. It's so a large portion of what you do and what you've done in the past was basically, bank management and how to kind of navigate them out of trouble areas, right?
Exactly. We had with the team about 70%, 75% of success, which was okay, and then 25% we lost, but that was a good ratio, and that took about 18 months to put a bank or to put a company back on rails again. Right. It's not because there are some early warning signals that this is a bad company. That has nothing to do. Sometimes it are external circumstances who provokes liquidity problems, so it's not always the internally management side that provokes the problem. It's often a mix.
So there's a lot that obviously goes into it. I mean, it's not just a cut and dry, black and white type thing. It's
No.
So what?
It's rather complex.
From your studies and from what was more effective to you? Because obviously everyone knows you go to school, you try to learn all this hands-on training, and you read the books that you need to read. But was it more valuable for you to get that experience working in the field and being at the banks and doing what you have to do to really understand the management side of handling this?
Exactly. It's by trial and error. It's not
right.
By trial and error and by doing files that you became more pragmatic, more decisionist, more solution-minded. And you need to be able to cope with all the problems around. It's more like negative stress, and you need to cope with negative stress because all people before you are stressed. So you need to be very capable to remain calm and to be positive, even if the other side of the table is very has a negative outlook. You always need to look for the positive outlook and what we call the plan B or the plan C. And if the plan A doesn't work, you always need to have a plan B and a plan C. And I'm trained in that, to always have a plan B and a plan C in each situation that I'm, even privately, I'm trained in that kind of mindset by doing it and by trial and error. I made some errors through, for sure.
Right.
But I learned from them.
Right. No, absolutely, yeah. I mean, and on a whole, I mean, it sounds like you have a very firm grasp of that. And like you said, you have to stay calm. You have to always have that backup plan ready to go in case the first plan just can't work. Now, what are some of the major obstacles that you face on a daily basis, you know, in doing what you do every day?
In doing what I do every day, there are a few issues which are always difficult. And the most important part is to get all the noses in the same direction. That means that my team, I should explain very well to my team our strategy, our operational strategy, and our strategy for the future. And I need to do that again and again and again, because I thought when I was younger that people, if you say it once, they will understand and they will do it, which is not the case. So you need to repeat constantly the values of your company, constantly try to be an example for them, and then hope that all noses are in the same direction. In my younger years, that was my biggest mistake. I had some perfect ideas, I thought, but I looked after me and my team was about 50 yards after me. So you need to get the team together with you, and you need to take time to do that. That's the most important thing in management of a bank, and I think in managing every company. And
right.
then we have a lot of other difficulties. Is of course the regulations are tough, so we need to make sure that our regulations are perfectly in order. Excuse me. So that the regulations are perfectly in order. And those regulations making life of a CEO of a bank tough. It's not the most sexy job at the moment. It's better to be a scheme writer, I think, than to be a CEO of a bank. So you always need to have the regulation in mind. And you need to have the funding. And you need to see the growth opportunities and the revenue growth opportunities for the future. So you have always those mindset. So you have the front pressing to get more sales on the one hand. On the other hand, you need to keep the losses in place, and it's the bottom line who counts. So you need to have a good balance between risk and front. And risk and front need to talk to each other, and a good risk department understands the front, and the front understands the risks. And we have made a decision process where four eyes are imperative. And I mean, four eyes is two eyes from the front and two eyes from risk. And there is no decision in any kind of operation regarding the risk. There will be differences in seniority of the decision makers, but always four eyes principle, and we never will leave that. And we decide our risk appetite statements in the beginning of the year regarding the figures of the year before, and those are really imperative. So it's not, if we say it's 80% of the fair value, it's 80%. It's not 80.-0001. It's 80%. And that's
right.
Are some principles you need to be very, 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 very strict about it, because it's so easy for a bank to make sales. If we say we give everybody who is calling CKV credit lines, then they will call. I even don't need to do any marketing. It will be spread in the market by mouth or by social media, and we will have. We need to hire 50 people to have a call center, because it will be incredible. But then we will have some more losses in the future, and the net gain will be maybe less than what we have put in it. So you need to be very, 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 very reluctant, and a good balance between risk and front is very important.
Sure. I mean, and it's certainly
in every kind of product.
Right. And you know, it definitely sounds like you have all the knowledge and the experience that that certainly I would think people would trust. I mean, now when you're working with your staff and you say you got to get everyone's noses in the same direction, and staying positive obviously is a big thing. Now, how important do you think, though, the positive interaction is with your employees? I mean, how can it affect operations if, you know, God forbid, you're having a bad day and it kind of wears off on everybody else? What does that entail, and what kind of effect do you think that will have on your operation?
It would be, I like everybody else, I have bad days. They know if I have a bad day, and I will tell them that I have a bad day. So
right.
If they are clever, and they are, they will already avoid difficult questions or questions which are not so good at that time, maybe. But as I said, the decision making, I don't take my decisions on my own. We have a management committee each Tuesday, and the
right.
decisions are made in the management committee. They are not made by me alone, which should be very, very bad if I did so. But once
sure.
we make the decision after tough discussions in the management committee, then, of course, it's imperative and it should be executed by the people. And
right.
what's also very important, people should also have to learn that no is also a decision. They always expect that everybody on what they ask has a decision in the form of yes, which is not possible. No
right.
is also a decision. It can be a very good idea, but for reasons which we will explain to the people, we will not do that. So no is also a decision. And in the Belgium side, a lot of people are not so direct with their guys. We are very direct in our communication, so our communications line are short, and our communications line are very direct. And I believe in what I call management by walking around. I'm always on the work floor. I'm the first in the bank. I'm the last in the bank. I walk through the offices. I talk. I drink a coffee where I can. I'm listening to the people. And I think it's very important that... and we treat them very well. We have a cafeteria plan, which is in Belgium very unique. Once in 2 years, we are doing a team building outside in another country where it's warmer and more sunnier than in Belgium. We try to, if the gain is positive, we try to have them participate in the gain, and which means also the other side of the coin, that if the figures are bad, that they get loss more, not so much as the gain. So far, we have a very growing stage in the 4 years that I'm here. We are getting, our net results are getting up each year by 22-23%, which is of course fine for them, because then their bonuses are following the line of the evolution of the bank. And of
right.
course you need to treat them well, correct and well.
Of course.
Yeah. That's what we try to do. That's what we try to do. And I believe that if you have strong social skills like we have, you see it in the soft skills. If you have good, well-trained people in the soft skills, you see it in the hard skills. I mean, you see it in the figures. I'm sure
right.
that the figures are good because the soft skills are okay. If the figures are bad, it's often the circumstances, but often if they are honest with themselves, it has a lot to do with the procedures and the people in the management team that are more important sometimes than the external circumstances. But it's easy to use the external circumstances to explain why you have a loss of 20 million euro or something like that. That's much more easier than to say that you made a mistake in management of your people.
Sure.
That's my personal view. That's my
Absolutely.
Personal.
And for everybody that's joining us a little late in the show, I'm with Rudy DeReiter of CKV Bank. And this is, again, based out of Belgium. But, again, he's sharing a pretty large wealth of knowledge as in reference to global economics and how the banking system itself works. So, Rudy, I want to know, I mean, you're mentioning your staff again, and it sounds like you are a very hands-on boss, but you do share the decision-making process with everybody on board. And your incentives, obviously, to keep them happy. You know, you're providing bonuses when you guys are having a good year. You share the wealth again. Now, what have you seen as far as, other motivating factors behind that? I mean, you keep people happy. You pay them well. You pay them right. You give them what they deserve. Do you offer anything, do you have, like, holiday parties that kind of get people going and, just kind of keep the general flow?
Yeah, I strongly believe in what I call pleasure in the job. I don't mean that it need to be party time every hour or every day, which
right.
is impossible. But if people like to come to work, they're spending more time here than with their husbands. Huh? So I need to be, the working place need to be fun. Pleasure
right.
and fun in the job and in the atmosphere. So they have a terrace. They have flexibility, which is very important, and I'm gaining of that. So, and people in Belgium, I don't know, in the United States, are more a bit contradictory. So I have two rules, which are very strange maybe for your point of view, from an American point of view, but in Belgium it's working very good. So on Mondays, they may not start before 9 a.m., and on Friday, I will not see any man more or woman on the floor after 4 o'clock p.m. And if you say
right.
so, what will you see? People are coming before 9 a.m. because they are not allowed to do so, but they like to do it. And they're
right.
staying longer than 4 p.m. because they are not allowed, but they like to do it. If I should do it the other way around, and I said, you must be there at 8 a.m., huh? I should have a lot of problems, difficulties, negativism on the floor. And if I should say you should stay at just 6 p.m. on Fridays, they would stay until 6, but they will be negative and they will not be enthusiastic. And the last 2 hours, the output of the last 2 hours will be negative, and the input of the first hour on Monday will also be negative. That's my conviction of that. So they are not allowed to come before 9 on Mondays. They can sleep out, and they may not stay after 4 p.m. on Fridays. And at noon they may choose short lunch, medium lunch, or long lunch period, which means 30 minutes in Belgium, 1 hour or 2 hours.
Wow.
Sounds maybe very ridiculous, but it's working so far.
Hey, as long as it works. I mean, you're like I said, you're keeping
yeah.
your employees happy, and that's great.
And
yeah.
I would just say one thing.
Sure.
Today, the 4th February of 1956, we were built up, so it's our 60 years anniversary today. So you're
wow,
calling on the CKV 60 years anniversary today. And we have, as you could imagine by your questioning, a party this evening, party plus. We will invest a bit more money than usual because it's party time, and we will have some pleasure in the job this time and in the banking atmosphere to have
very
a better
nice.
Return for the future, of course.
That's great. I mean, really, Rudy, I got to say, as we're coming down now to the last minute of the show, it's been great speaking with you about the just in general. And it sounds like you have it right. It sounds like you have the career aspect going very strong for you. Obviously, you know what you're talking about, and you know how to handle people and take care of the people that help you. And it's a great thing to hear. I mean, you sound like a great boss.
I hope they find it, because it's easy for me to say so. The proof of the pudding is, of course, to ask the people themselves. And one important thing also, they take the risk, I take the blame.
That's right.
Which
that's
is
the,
very
that's
important.
That's the way it is
my
as a boss,
motto.
Right?
That's my motto, but you need to say it again and again and again and again.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Rudy, I want to thank you for coming on to the show today. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but we're going to have you back on in 2 weeks' time at the same time. All right, we'll see you on February 18th at 8:30 a.m. New York time, okay?
Okay, thank you. All have a nice day.
All right, well, everybody, please check out Rudy the Writer of CKV Banks. And again, thank you for listening, and we will see you soon. For everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May. Take care.